A little bit of a review for some of you that came to the Shiur Wednesday night, some of you have been coming to the post-Rosh Hashanah, post-Davening Rosh Hashanah Pesukim, but it's just meant to set a tone, give you five or six Pesukim that you keep thinking about and be able to draw meaning from over the next 48 hours. Okay, the more that you're in it, the more you'll draw from it. The more that you sideline yourself, the less you'll draw. Here's your chance to walk up the mountain, such an important ability in life. To know their special times, and those special times warrant special experiences. Each in their own way, but you have to find a way to go higher ground, find a way to be somewhere else. Each in your own way. You can't let every day be the same. They have to be special days. You have to prepare for them. You have to feel them. You have to be able to experience them, and your conduct has to reflect it. Here's your chance. Your first time, but you're in charge of your conduct. In 10, 15 years, you're going to be in charge of a lot of other people's conduct. Your family, your wife, you're not in charge, but you have to be a tone setter. So you're training yourself now, and you're training yourself, hopefully, for other people. You'll be a real leader. Leader doesn't just shout slogans and hold flags and wave ideas, but they set examples. Rabbanim sometimes ask me, what is their challenge for Yom Narayim? Well, what do people see in you? Well, let them see in you Kabbalas HaMalchus, Kabbalas HaShem. It's so hard for people to understand it. They have a palpable image of someone, not in a highfalutin, a grandiose fashion, but a palpable image of someone who's experiencing the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will bring them to higher ground. So it's that type of leadership. You'll be the person in shul that's somewhere else, not in a Chas HaShalom detached or condescending way, but people will see, wow, this person is experiencing Rosh Hashanah. I look at that face. My Rosh Hashanah, it's because I used to look at Rav Aaron's face and Rav Amital's face, and I just saw that glow. I saw that experience in them. Tikru b'chodesh shofar, b'keser liyom chageinu. It's a day of keser. Keser at a literal level means hidden. So much of this day is concealed. So much of this day is not apparent to the naked eye. And of course, the major motif which isn't apparent to the naked eye is Hashem's Malchus. This is the day Hashem created the world 5,778 years ago. This is the day He will recreate the world. Tomorrow, nature may seem the same, but there's a new vitality, a new force, a new creation of the Bona Shalom. Try to tap into that. It's not just a new creation, but it's a new extension of Hashem's authority. This was the day that man was first judged, the Rishon sinned in Rosh Hashanah. Immediately, he was granted clemency by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That becomes our paradigm. We hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends that same clemency to us. You're at the age now where hopefully you're starting to lock into the fragility of life and the seriousness of life and how quickly it ends, and you've seen, you've heard of people that have died. You certainly live in a world in which people's lives aren't assured, and instability can happen in a flash, whether it's natural causes, whether it's political factors, whether it's just people who have bloodlust. Life isn't a given. And as much as we breathe and we feel that it is, and we're meant to feel that it is, so that we can focus our attention, our creativity, and our commitment and energies on programs, projects, futures, agendas, every once in a while you take stock of the fact that we aren't as invulnerable, we aren't as invincible as you think. That the breath we take is breathed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the day that every man will be judged. This is the day that every part of our universe, the Hamadinos, Bo Yomer, people will be judged individually, people will be judged collectively. That's why it's hidden, because most people aren't aware of it. Most people aren't even aware of the Malchus Hashem. So it's a day of Kesed, it's a day of Hashem's might and authority in a way that's concealed. In a way that we know about it, Ashrei Ha'am. These are something to try to think about. B'keser liyom chageinu, Ashrei Ha'am yodei sru'ah. That phrase, we're the people that know. As the people that know, it gives us glory, it gives us pride, it gives us confidence. But pride, glory, and confidence march hand in hand with duty and responsibility. And our duty and responsibility on this day is to worry. It's to worry about Hashem's state in this world. Is Hashem's malchus truly felt? Is Hashem's malchus receding? Certainly in our own private corner of the world, we feel that Hashem's Malchus is rapidly expanding. Every year, the state of Israel reaches new benchmarks, new stability, new superpower, new diplomatic horizons, despite all the threats. Think about where we were 10, 15 years ago, and all the armies and all the states who were aligned threatening our actual existence, strategic threats, Syria and Iraq and Egypt. And now all of these states have either become dysfunctional or have reconciled with the Jewish people. There's a strategic threat. We're just facing one conglomerate. That's the axis of evil. We say, Ki Savir, Memshelas, Adom, Minaretz. We hope that those who threaten our people with their tongues with their weapons will be quieted, will be muted. Kisavir, Memshelas, Adom, Minaretz. But in general, the state of Israel, 70th year, 70 years, that's how long it took to be in Galus Bavel. 70 years we've created a Geula. Baruch Hashem, we reflect the Kodesh Baruch in this world. As we rise, he rises. As our flag is hoisted, his salvation is more evident. We raise a flag, a degel, in Hashem's name, and we're proud. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Simcha Hashem, Tashem Elokeinu, V'chein Yiskadei Shemcha Hashem Elokeinu, Yisrael Amecha, V'yal Yishilayim Yirecha, V'yal Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha, V'yal Mechus Beislev Mishnecha, V'yal Mechoncha V'heicha Lecha. V'chein Tein Kavod Hashem Liyamecha, Tila L'Reyecha, Sikvatov L'Doshecha, Rav Amital told us about the year right after the Holocaust ended, so to speak. They were free, but they were still in a ghetto. They couldn't really leave because there were still snipers and vestigial fire taking place. So they're davening in a cellar, not really knowing who was whom. And they had a few machzarim. Basically, everyone was davening by heart as best as they could in some dark little cellar. Minyan, probably 10, 15 people. And the chazan got up to say, V'chein tein kavod Hashem li'amecha, give honor and glory to your people. And they started laughing and crying. What does that mean? We're being shot like dogs. Everyone in this room has lost their entire family. Millions of Jews have been murdered in cold blood. We have no homeland. What does it mean, Tein Kavod Hashem Liyamecha? Give honor to your people. And here we are, 75 years after Rav Amital Seller. And we know what it means to say, Tein Kavod Hashem Liyamecha, Tila L'Reyecha. We know what Kavod is. We know what it is for a Jew to walk with Kavod, for a Jew to walk with Kol Miyot. That's God-given. That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Matana. Hashem gives it to us so that we reflect Him. But it's also a day that's universal. And unfortunately, in so many areas, Malchut Hashem is receding in our world. It's not just receding in the obvious, people who take lives really for no purpose. Terror used to have at least a political agenda. Today, it's just to kill and maim and create spectacle, bloodlust and blood celebration, just to scare people, to frighten people. Think about all the other areas in this world, the anger that this world has. People live in an angry world. People shout and scream and defend their positions and dismiss the validity of those. Democracy, which is so valuable to us, has begotten polarities which seem to be irreconcilable. Democracy is pitched upon sustaining differences of opinion and allowing those differences to create a common currency of ideas, a common convention. And unfortunately, in the democratic world of today, a world of disenfranchisement, a world of global economy where there's a shifting of wealth unlike anything we've seen in the last 100 years. The last time we saw the disproportionate shift of wealth was the last time humanity leapt forward. Industrial age, the railroad era. Somehow man can't find that winning combination of advancing forward through the energy of capitalism, but allowing that advance to be equitably shared. And whenever those differentials are too large, friction and war emerges. Nationalism replaces, or hateful nationalism replaces, those who are disenfranchised, looking for scapegoats, looking to demonize. We lived through it in the early part of the 20th century. It exploded on many fronts, universally in wars, ultimately in scapegoating the other. Sadly enough, the simmering anger we live in our world, the lack of unity. So when you say, V'yasu kula maguda echas lasos v'tzoncha b'leivav shelim, the only way that humanity can fully unite, the only secret for unity is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no basis for full and complete unity other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the failure of Migdal Bavel. V'yikol arts, safa achas, v'dvarim achadim, common purpose, common language. One thing was missing. Baruch Shalom. Karl Marx, Lenin, great ideas. The Workers' Party. Let's displace capitalism. Let's create unity and fraternity. Culture without HaKadosh Baruch Hu at its pivot will not unify. The enormity and the sweep of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only way to completely unify, create complete solidarity. We live in a world in which that seems to be slipping further and further away. V'yasu kula maguda echas lasas. What would it be like if there were no more hatred, no more violence, no more dismissiveness? Sometimes in history, man lurches closer to that. Sometimes we fall further from that. But in Rosh Hashanah, we seek Hashem's malchus and a world that's united. V'kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus. V'yeda kol pol ki ata pi'alto. V'yavin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. V'yamar kol asher neshama bi'apo. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. Imagine all the people. Think over Yom Tov, of all the people in this world who you respect. They may be politicians, they may be authors, they may be artists, they may be athletes. Whoever you respect. Imagine one day them lining up and saying, you know what, Ben Sion, you were right. You know what, Chaim, you were right. Andy, you were right. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. Come on, let your mind wander. LeBron will line up and say, you know what, you were right. I don't know who else you respect in this world. Whatever you do, line them up. Not in a way that's triumphalist and defeat. It's just, I understand what you stood for in this world. I understand why Jews struggled so mightily, because you stood for the presence of Hashem throughout history. Now we see it more fully. We understand that your job is not to convert us into Jews, but to demonstrate what it is to live a life of morality, a life of idealism, a life of monotheism. Thank you. Thank you for showing the courage. Thank you for going to the mat. Thank you for laying your life on the line. Thank you for being my hero. Thank you for working so hard, for learning Torah, for being a moral person. Thank you for shouting a silent voice or a solitary voice in the wilderness. Thank you for doing it. So don't lose sight of the universalism of Rosh Hashanah. It's a lot of nationalism and national pride, which we'll talk about. But don't skip to it. Don't forget the shofar. First and foremost, is a way to be Mamlech Hashem. Sound of the shofar, sound of coronation. It's hard. I know it's a very abstract concept. You haven't ever seen a king, at least a king whom you respect. So the double leap. And to first of all, it's a triple leap. First of all, envision the nature of a king. Second of all, we find the nation, find the actual word king very offensive. I don't just mean cartoonish in the way that it's become in the modern era, but offensive. Absolute power, tyranny. What does it mean about my individualism, personal expression? What does it mean to have a king? And even if we did, then you'd have to extrapolate to the Malach Malchei Hamlochim, which would be an imaginative leap onto itself. But think about each person in his own way, in his own fashion. How would your life be different if there were a king? Think about it. First of all, take a simple leap. Would humanity be better off or worse off if there were a benevolent monarch? Don't take the obvious answer. Maybe there'd be ways they'd be better off. Maybe less graft, less corruption, more trust, more authority figures, more absolute morals. Let's say you were benevolent. Let's say you acted under the spirit of God. Let's say you acted with Yerusha Mayim. Would it be better than the logjam and the moral subjectivism and the moral swirl we live in? Shouting world of people trying to vie for attention and to propose their own ideas in this cacophony of competition for truth? Would there be a hierarchy of what is right and what is wrong that would be so obvious that it would steer human behavior? Think about it. Be honest. Be brave. Don't just fall back upon convention. Defeat convention. Question the world you live in. Be thankful for the benefits that it afforded. And then imagine if that melech were the melech malchei melechim hamamlech melechim. When you hear that shofar tonight, when you say the word melech, think carefully. Even if the word melech is too abstract for you to imagine, do you really want a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your world? Do you really want Mashiach to come? Would you be excited that everything you davened for actually came true? Or is it just something you pay half of your heart to, or the other half denies it and pursues another reality? So think about that. Don't lose sight of the cosmic. Don't lose sight not just of the international nature of the day, but this is a keep using the word cosmic. It's a day that's felt on every single planet. Every single microorganism is bristling with Hashem's presence. From the largest planet in the furthest galaxy to the smallest microbe on the lining of your stomach. That's how expansive the sweeter this day is. Every single part of this creation is infused with Hashem's presence. And when that presence is felt more palpably, then those creatures feel it and sense it. But human beings have the great denial mechanism. But we don't. We see it. We're the only people of free choice that see it. What a chus that is to live through this day. Ki chok li Yisrael hu, tiku b'chod ha-shofar, b'kesel yom chagenu. Ki chok li Yisrael hu, as universal as it is, this is our day. This is our day because we're the ones who volitionally accept Hashem's malchus. This is our day because remind ourselves of all the watershed moments and sadly, all the moments of struggle over that attempt to bring Hashem into this world. There were great moments, then there were frustrating moments. Great moments began on that mountain. Think about Yerushalayim, think about Har HaBayis, think about the Kotel. On that mountain, about which we'll read on Friday, during the Akedah, three legendary messages were delivered. Number one, Hashem says, I don't want humans to die. That's not religion. Avram had to be drawn to the brink of human sacrifice just to debunk the notion. He had to be right, like a Havamina that has to be launched so that it would be rejected resoundingly. I don't want blood. Al tishlach yadcha el hanar v'al pas lo me'umah. Religion and death are not twins. How hard has that lesson been for humanity to learn? Religion is not about death. It's not about blood. It's not about suffering. It's not about denial. On September 11th, it wasn't just the World Trade Center and the Pentagon who were under attack. The face of God was hijacked by Islamic fundamentalism and reconfigured and vandalized into a God of anger and hatred and blood. And we have to protect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face in this world. And on the Akedah, Hashem reminds us, I don't want blood. Number two, Hashem taught Avraham, you may understand me. You can synchronize my will and your will. You can study me. Your ration is a powerful tool. But there will be a point in everyone's life where you can't make sense of Hashem's instructions. Not only can't you, but you shouldn't. It would be immoral from a human perspective to kill yourself. Not only can't Avraham make sense of it, if he does, he becomes a monster. That's the moment of Yirat Shamayim. Ata Yadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. Yirat Shamayim does not mean fear, it means submission. The ability for a human being to submit to a higher authority. Wise people know how to do it. Cocky, mediocre people feel they can self-mediate knowledge. And their empiricism is the only conduit to acquire information and wisdom. People of intelligence know that they know their limits. Knowing your limits is knowing how smart you are. And the third message on that mountain, not just the message of I don't want blood, not just the message of Yirat Shamayim, the third message, on that day, our DNA was altered. On that day, our biological DNA received an extra gene. Jews have an extra gene. It's called the Mesiras Nefesh gene. And I have no doubt that any single person on this table, if called upon, would have the ability to be Mosa Nefesh or Kiddush Hashem. It's in our genes. We are not a culture that has a death wish. We don't look towards it. We are a culture of life. But every single Jew, isn't what I'm about to say. I want to make it graphic, not morbid. Every single Jew lives their life with a bullseye on their back. And that shouldn't frighten you. Because it's part of your position in this world to stand for something larger than yourself. And most of the time people either ignore it or accept it. You know, once in a while it riles people. It's built in. It's not incidental. Hasn't passed. Here, you close the door, thank you. Hasn't passed. People thought, your parents and your grandparents' generation have thought that after the Holocaust, that whole story had ended. Mesiras Nefesh. Holocaust, martyrdom, that's part of Crusaders, Poland, Romans. Now we're living in the modern world, Western civilization, the age of reason. In the last 20, 30 years, the world you grew up in reminded everyone, it's not part of history, it's current events. Baruch Hashem, the numbers are much smaller, but there's still soldiers dying on Kiddush Hashem. Still people saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So everyone has that ability. We have no one. Rabbi Akiva was taken out to be killed. And somebody said, Rabbi, tell us, make sense of this. Rabbi Akiva said, Kol Yamai Ha'isim Itztayer Masai Agia. I always wondered what I'd be called upon for this challenge. And now that I've been called upon, I'm not going to succeed in a second. So you don't pursue it. You don't worry about it. It doesn't overwhelm you or intimidate you. But you're part of that legacy, as we said this morning. We don't think about it that much in Rosh Hashanah, but when you read about the Akedah, remember all the Yidden who went on Kiddush Hashem and their merits. Said that today in the beautiful end of Vidur, of Sajagon's Vidur, if one person who wasn't even slaughtered on Har Moriah was virtual, he was ready to, look how much schus we have from Yitzhak, who was ready. How are we to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 2017? With what type of merits, so to speak, and justification can we harness and say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's been 2,000 years. Unfortunately, so many Jews have suffered. And they're still suffering, those who want to help build the future. I visited Rabbi Nit Henkin 2-3 years ago, after her children were one of the first to be killed in the recent wave of violence 2-3 years ago. A bunch of girls from the seminary were visiting her pro forma, didn't really know her, they just were taken by the Rebbe to visit. She asked one of the girls, tell me, how many books are there in Tanakh? The girl said, 24. Mrs. Henkin said, you're wrong. There's a 25th book, and it's about the Jews returning to their homeland. And my children, who were killed in Kiddush Hashem, they're in that book. We're writing the 25th book of Tanakh. This isn't a flag or Zionism or an ideology. We are living through the 25th book of Tanakh. To be in the book, sometimes you have to be willing to pay the price. But a price for something always shows how valuable it is. Nothing free is ever of value. That's why it's given freely. So no one here is paying a price, Bezras Hashem. But just the awareness and the ability to create continuity between Akedas Yitzchak and the Romans, and the Jews who suffered for centuries under Arab rule, and the Crusade victims, and the Spanish Inquisition, and the Jews who were expelled from England, and the Jews of Poland in the 17th century, and then, of course, the great, great, great destruction of the Jews of Eastern Europe, a little bit of Western Europe during the Holocaust. Price we paid for our role in this world. And now, people literally sitting next to you in the Beit Medrash, pay attention in Yom Kippur. They'll see the father of Gilad Sher, one of the three boys receiving the second to last Aliyah. He comes and davens here every year. I'll point him out to you if you want. In the last Aliyah, small man, not taller than my hand, name is Tzvi Tal, former Supreme Court judge. He was responsible for the Chok Tal that tried to arrange army service for Haredim. It was in force for a couple of years. His son Moshe, whose picture is about 3 feet away from us, left this Beis Medrash in the other room to die in Yom Kippur, to go to the fight in the Yom Kippur War. So I know it's a lot for you to come from comfortable shuls and far-off places surrounded by trees and grass. But Rosh Hashanah is a day of history, a day in which we celebrate all the history of Am Yisrael, the Bris Rishonim. Remember how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us. Ahavas Kol Asayach Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar. The Eretz Lo Zeruah. So we talk about the high water marks, not just the sacrifices. The Midbar, the first Beis HaMikdash, Malchus Beis David, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Beis HaMikdash. And you know what? All the love throughout all those dark periods. You know, can't just highlight as if it's all been one nightmare. Because we had HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were able to create such beauty and such glory. We are walking miracles. We are the miracle of human history. We haven't just survived. We haven't just thrived. We've reshaped the human imagination. We've introduced monotheism, and thank God most of our world is monotheistic. We were the ones who introduced morality. Thank God most of the world has moral sensibility. We introduced rights and social justice. Thank God social justice. We liberated ourselves from slavery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us mi-beis avadim. There are many types of beis avadim. And Jews are always at the forefront of crusading as best we can for justice, for equality, for rights, for respect of every human being. Baruch Hashem, who would have thought the underdogs, the victims of history, became the authors of history? That's what we stood for. Now we're doing it again. 70 years after resettling into our land, the embers of the Holocaust, taking in people from 52 different dialects, homicidal maniacs amassed on all of our borders intent on destroying us. We don't possess the only resource that's worth anything in the Middle East, oil. We have nothing. Who would have thought that we'd even survive 70 years later? Who would have thought it would shape the world? Who would have thought that the entire world runs through Tel Aviv and Jerusalem? Who would have thought that every single newspaper has to carry some news about Am Yisrael? Some news about them hating us or some news about them loving us? My Zaidi told me, Zaidi who learned in Slabatka, would always tell me, Meshala, when they hate you that much, and they speak about you that much, you know you're doing something right. You know you're a gadol. So we're a gadol. We're a small nation, but we're a large nation. We occupy. It's time to stand up and be proud to be a Yid, to be thrilled as to where you come from, to lock into that legacy, to think about people, think about real people. Take a few minutes today, sit down maybe with a pen and paper. Which people are you going to think about, Rosh Hashanah? Your grandfather, or your grandmother, or your great-grandfather, or the uncle you heard about, someone you read about, some interesting. It's got to be people in your mind, not just thoughts in Rosh Hashanah. And then go back to that great mountain when you hear the shofar. Go back to that mountain. The Ayel Achar Nechaz Vasvach Bekarnav. It all started there. And it will all end there. History in Judaism is circular. It's not linear. It doesn't evolve to some unknown terminus. It just returns to the point of origin. Its endpoint is already determined. Pace, trajectory, who will the heroes be? We know where we're heading. Who wants to be part of it? You can just be an anonymous name, lives his life, moves on. Your plaque will be found on a shul somewhere. Every year, one day, someone will come and turn the little light bulb for a day. Or you can be the book of history. Or you can be one day, who settled Gush Etzion? Who brought Torah to his family? Who changed the... I have a brother-in-law. I don't normally want to share this, but as you know, I've been very, very busy the last couple of days. My brother-in-law, whose name you know, been very ill. He's been in the hospital, so got a lot on our plates. Everyone should be misfollowed for Yeshua Yehuda Ben Esther Nami. 2001, 2002, decided he wants to be part of the book of history. He's living in, I don't want to say where, because I'm sound Chas V'Shalom judgmental, living somewhere in America. Bright career path chosen for him. Could have done anything he wanted to. Why am I living, he said, where I'm living, where my brothers and sisters are trying to build my history for me? And unfortunately, we suffered a death in the family. A cousin of ours was caught in one of the terror bombings in the early 2000s. He got up, he said, I'm not just going to come. I'm going to bring as many Jews as I can. He starts Nefesh B'Nefesh. Hundreds of thousands. My Rebbe Fass is my brother-in-law. My Josh Fass is my brother-in-law. He's just voted one of the 50 most influential Jews in the world. Just came out today. He's unfortunately in the hospital by Fianta. He wants to have Tfilas as well. Tfilas as many people as you can. And then remember the third great theme of Rosh Hashanah. Please listen, because it's not obvious. Jonah, not obvious. You missed it. You've been asking me about this for so long. We introduced a brand new idea, a brave new idea, and it started at Har Moriah, but it really emerged at a different mountain. You have to move mountains, you have to skip mountains, you have to be a mountain climber, Rosh Hashanah. You don't just have Hashem's will, instructions, submission, message, monotheism, say what you want. Revelation. We speak to God, He speaks to us. He speaks to us. The only people to stake that claim, the only people to ever stake such an audacious claim that man speaks to us at a mass level, his brother speaks to us at a mass level. No other religion has ever dared to say that. Christianity never dared make that claim because they knew it would fail. They claimed it was a man who performed miracles, who was the son of God, who students thought he was God. Maybe true. I'm sure he thought he was God. I'm sure he performed miracles. I'm sure his students thought he was God. I wish I had students like that. Or that I saw God in a prophecy, in a dream, who told me to conquer the world, so says Muhammad. No one has ever lodged that claim that we stood shoulder to shoulder. Millions of people strong in a non-hallucinatory fashion. In a bonus shalom. Pal, pal, dabrapo. Spoke to you. Panim b'fanim, dibra Hashem, machem bar mitachesh. Panim b'fanim, dibra Hashem. I can't even imagine that. The infinite voice of the Rabbi Shlach in my ears even hear that. Ashrei Ozen. Fortunate with those ears that stood at Har Sinai. It's about Shechina and Gilui Shechina. You're having a hard time imagining it because it only happened once. We live in a world in which that notion of rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far removed from public consciousness. But it happened once. It happened at Har Sinai. And when it happened, the shofar hearkened it. Himshoch hayovel hema yalu v'har v'cholam ramis hakalos v'salapidim. Kol ha-shofar chazak me'od Moshe yidaber v'lokim yanenu b'kol. Hashem was blowing the shofar. Moshe Yadav came in and Bakal. Hashem was blowing the shofar. Kolos of Rakim. Hashem was about Kiyah. And since then, 3,500 years have elapsed since Ribbono Hashem spoke to man again. He spoke to man in code, or in Bitumim. He spoke to man filtered through human tongue, Nevi'im. At a certain point, that dried up. We had to find his voice encoded in his Torah. So we spend our day trying to find his voice encoded in Torah. Could you imagine that every time you had a question, you could just ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Imagine that type of relationship. It'll happen again. Call shofar. Shofar gadol. There will be another time Hashem will blow the shofar. The Shekhinah will once again be revealed to men. And this time, not just the group, but everyone. Everyone. Malach al kol ha'olam kula b'chvodecha. He nasa al kol ha'aretz b'ikarecha. Hofa ba'adar gaonu zecha al kol yoshvei teva lotzecha. V'yeda kol pa'ol kiyata. Everyone will hear the voice of the Bnei Shalom. Everyone. And the world will change. And everything you've grown accustomed to will be different. And you'll look back at your life and say, what a mirage. We're in a different place now with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a mirage. So when you hear the voice of the shofar, think back to that moment in which Hashem revealed Himself to us. We've been carrying that little secret. We've been demanding that Hashem has no image. We've been dying for that. How much blood is spilled because Jews refuse to bow down in front of a cross representing a man or agree to a molten image. Refuse because that would compromise the voice. The voice called Devarim Atem Shomim Utmuna in Chem Ro'im. You heard a voice, not an image. When you say in Asana Tokev, think of the author in Asana Tokev lying with his limb severed. Refusing to surrender Malchus Hashem on the day of Malchus Hashem. I care whether you cut this limb off or that. I'm here for myself. You didn't get the memo? I'm not here for myself. You don't get the concept? I'm not here for myself. I'm here for something larger. That's what makes me so successful. I'm not here for myself. I don't need the extra cash. Don't need the extra comfort. Not what we're doing here. Not why we're here. Of course, Hashem wants us to be comfortable and Hashem wants us to be prosperous. But that's not our goal, so that we can live for higher things. We're going to be mountain climbers. So mountain climbers have to be prosperous. So those are the psukim. Tikru b'chodesh shofar b'kestel yom chagenu. Universalism that's hidden. Kichok l'yisroelu, but it's our day. Asher yom yodei sura, we know about it. Shema Yisrael, Hashem lakeinu, Hashem echad. V'yedal kol pol ki atapu yalto. Kisad v'rim shela zadom min aretz. V'salachata Hashem al kol aretz. V'chein yizkad Hashem chavanu al Yisrael amecha. V'chein ten kavod Hashem liyamecha. Tila l'reyecha. If you think about those, isn't a better day to live. Isn't a better day to walk around and beam with pride. As Nehemiah told the people, and these are the last two psukim, and you're less familiar with them, so listen carefully. Nehemiah told the people when they were back for Rosh Hashanah, Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. Chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. Your strength is the joy of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. Or as we talked about yesterday, in the post-Shachar Shir, Tehillim, B'shimcha, this is a pasuk you'll say right after Shofar. B'shimcha yigilon kol hayom. I want to be rejoicing with you every day of my life, and certainly all of this day. Kol hayom, it's a double entendre. U'v'tzidkascha yarumu, and I will rise with your charity. I will rise with your compassion. I will rise with your kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as we talked about so much, is it a day of sorrow? Of course it is. We see people crying in shul. Guys, please put away the phones. We say, no. Guys, is it a time for a solemnity? Of course it is. But somehow tap into that and walk away with pride and with joy and just confidence. Look at what you have. Look at what you're living through. Look at the yeshiva you're part of. with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Now there are expectations. Great people aren't crushed by expectations. They're excited about it. Great athletes want to have the ball in their hands with 5 seconds left. Great quarterbacks want to end the game. Great people want to end history. Great people are not looking for comfort and ease. They're looking to change. They're looking to make a mark. They're looking to find some way out. Here you are, right at the cusp. Be great people. Start by absorbing the energy of this day. Couple tips and hints. Number one, sleep today. I'm telling you, have me in mind when you sleep. You'll get some of that rest. There's a minhag not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. I would recommend it, but just if you're exhausted and you don't think you can daven, then of course take a nap in the afternoon. But certainly don't just go instinctively and lie down. The Ri'ah Kodesh says, sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you have a sleepy year. Any of you want a sleepy year? My old joke, which one day you'll understand, so I'll say it now, you have no way to understand it now. When you're a yeshiva bachur and you hear that, it's scary. If you sleep in Rosh Hashanah, you have a sleepy year. You try not to sleep, but toothpicks in your eyes. When you get married and have children, you say, oh, another school. If I sleep in Rosh Hashanah, I'll get some sleep. It's like eating every moment. It's like, you'll understand and appreciate it that day. When I tell that to adults, they crack up. Because when you're an adult, you don't get to sleep, guys. You don't get to sleep. It's not your right. Want to know how to be a successful adult? Here it is. The sooner you start practicing it, the more successful you'll be. Three words. So far we've had three words. One is, someone hung it, embrace the fatigue. Now another three words. You ready? I come last. Got it? I come last. Who comes before me? Everyone. My wife, my children, my family, my parents, like you know, at a certain point, you got to take care of yourself, or else there's no I. For the rest of your time, once that I is there, I come last. How can I help? Who can I be there for? What can I do? I come last. So you need to sleep. And my kids like run home and they want to eat their breakfast right after that. I just needle them a little bit just to get into subconscious. Oh, you got to eat. I love watching them eat. And they're kids. And kids love eating. I just want to already start planning in their heads. It's not about the extra meal. So you'll miss a meal. So you guys don't have that army experience. That's what you're learning in the army. You don't eat when you want to eat. You eat when you're allowed to eat. You have to learn to self-govern. Enjoy eating for sure. Enjoy at this stage. You're growing in it. But can't be the orienter. Can't be the thing that captures your imagination, that dictates how you feel. You can't be in a bad mood because you're hungry. You can't. You're larger than the fruit. You're larger. So if you want to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, if you need it, if anyone comes in tomorrow tired, don't get sad, don't worry. Your best feelings are when you're tired. Your best feelings. Because your mind is laid to rest. And once your mind is laid to rest, you'd be surprised how many layers of your subconscious you have access to that are normally suppressed by your ration. That's what your ration does. It has to, or else you see your hideous self. Your ration has to help you ignore certain things about life. It's called self-defense mechanism, coping, the narrative you write about ourselves. All of a sudden, more fatigued and tired that ration is, the less suppressive it is. Less suppressive? This is what happens, guys. Look at my hands. Like all of a sudden, like the curtain splits. And you're watching a play that you never got to see before. Because the curtains were always closed. So I'm not telling anyone here to be intentionally tired. But don't worry, come to shul, do your best, you're going to put your head down, no one's going to judge you or grade you, but I don't want you to walk into mom and say, oh my goodness, how am I going to make it through this day? We'll see. You'll make it. And you'd be surprised, sometimes when you're exhausted, the experience is even deeper. I plead with you, please trust me on this. See if you can walk in tomorrow at 7. I can tell you'd be quiet to 2, because there's a break in the middle. Those of you who want to eat, will eat. As you choose not to eat, do something constructive, obviously. Say something, learn something. If you choose not to eat before tekiyas, make sure you have some water in the morning so you don't have a chatzitanis before chatzos. Most of you will eat. Go downstairs. It's Rosh Hashanah. But please, from 7 till 9:45, more or less. From 10:20 till 2, more or less. Just see if you got it. Just see if your tongue flows freely. Or you control that tool It's an incredible tool. Incredible. The tongue. Communicate. Articulate. Eat, swallow, breathe. Can you control it? Because if not, then every time you walk up the mountain, taking three steps down. And all of a sudden, now 2 o'clock, how was your Rosh Hashanah? Well, I was busy with chit-chat with my friends. Okay, so you're in a valley. We're in the mountain. You're down in the valley. You're still at base camp. We've climbed Mount Everest. Still hanging out with the Indian tour guides. Base camp. We're in Kilimanjaro. You're still saddling up the donkeys. You got to walk up the mountain. You're still at base camp. Try to be quiet. When you're not in shul, here's the big one. This is where a lot of people lose it in Rosh Hashanah. It's not Tisha B'Av. But it's not Shabbos. And your conversation has to, at some level, reflect Yom HaDin. Doesn't mean you're sitting at the table shaking and shivering and rice drooling down your side of your mouth and throwing honey up in the air because you feel like it. But it just means there's a presence of Hashem. Lashon Hara, a little more careful about. Sarcasm, a little more careful about. Girls. Not a whole bunch that come. Sometimes there are. Some people say, you know what? That's something I want to engage too deeply on in Rosh Hashanah. I want my mind, if I know them, I want my mind to focus. I would say that's a legitimate. If I were to put up a sign every Yom Kippur, I'd be very disappointed. Even healthy. Boys, girls sitting and talking. So, you know that your mind is somewhere else when you're talking to a girl. Baruch Hashem, you're thrilled that it's that way. Great bracha. So you don't sink into flirtation. Flirtation is any time you do something with a girl that you wouldn't do with a boy, it's ready flirtation. It's Kalis Rush. It's good. I hope you one day will. Go out on a date. Comb your hair, as your mom will tell you. Tuck yourself in. Put on as you should. That's what Hashem wants of you. And not here and not now. And I don't think you. I've got the 7-second rule. Any boy comes to her more than 7 seconds, speak to me. I normally, I'm a little older, I get the 3 seconds. I'm ready. So you have longer hair, give you 7 seconds. Okay. Go out on a date. Go up to 10, 12 seconds. Put a little deodorant, brush your teeth. One day we'll get you guys to the finish line.
That is really.
I know it sounds strange, but even we'll get shy to the finish line. We'll get shy up to the chuppah. That's just Hashem. Mirz Hashem, I hope to be there. Also for the Shmogis, bro, get some chopped liver. Okay. Guys, here's your chance. You give a bracha on Rosh Hashanah. You know why you give a bracha on Rosh Hashanah? Because everything I just said is so large, and you are so happy that your heart is bursting open. And when your heart bursts open, your first move is, Shai, help me out. Take a little of it. I don't want it to go down the drain. These are such powerful emotions. My heart can't contain them. You know what, Nissen? Take some of it. You know what? Take some of it. Just, I don't want to go to waste. I've all this extra cash on hand. I got 20 yachts. Just take some money. It's so much pride. So, if I have an internet connection, I will read you, if I can find it, an email sent by a very, very chashuv rabbi in America, who is a rabbi of many boys in this room. I'm not going to give you any more information. You'll have to waterboard me for that information. I just want to read one line of his email. As you know, I spent a lot of emails this week. Hundreds and hundreds of emails. How could I not make someone feel good in Erev Rosh Hashanah? Like, what would I be doing better? Watching the Giants. Okay, I want to needle a couple of guys. Watching the Argonauts, or the Alouettes, or the Fairies. What's the next team going to be called? Okay, Rabbi. Here is the line. Hold on. I can still vividly recall your enveloping handshake and the verve of your divrei bracha on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. That was 18 years ago. Give me a chance.
It looks.
Give me a chance. You should also have a good Rosh Hashanah, Samsung woman. Fix me. Give me a chance. So Val, I love you. You get my jokes. Give me a chance, guys, to give you a bracha. Not because I want to create a memory. It's not something which is posed or rehearsed. So I give you a bracha. I'll try to give you each a bracha. I try. I think I know you guys well. I know where you're heading in life, and I know where you've come from. I'll try to give you a bracha that will help you along the way. Two words we don't say in my family. I told you already. Shana Tova. We say, at least tonight, L'shana Tova, Te'chasei, V'seichaseim, La'alter, L'chayim, Tovim, L'shalom. Everyone would say that 1,000 times to each person that would pass. And every married man, he would say to you, to your wife, to your kids, sometimes you know the names. This is a time to be a great person, not to be a regular person. This is a time to do great things. This is a time to go beyond yourself, live for something really, really large. It's the day of Hashem. You've got to be a large person. Daven for yourself for this year, for everything you hope to accomplish. Daven on behalf of your family as the representative in Eretz Yisrael. You're the one whose tefillah clearly will go to Shemayim faster than anyone back in Chutz Laretz. You're right here near the base of Shem. And if your family needs, you're the one. You're the delegate. Daven, you should make the most of this opportunity. And this is a life changer, as you've seen. It will change your life. We have the strength to engage, the courage to acknowledge, or at least the honesty to acknowledge, and the courage to make a change. Those are the three parts. Those are the three things you need. Inner strength to engage deeply, honesty to assess what you're going through, and then the courage to say, well, if I'm really honest with myself, maybe I should do this in life. Maybe my lifestyle should be such and such. That's real change. Shem has to help you along that way. So everyone should have a kesiva v'chasima tova. Rest up today. Go into the mikvah, unless you have marching orders not to. Suddenly go to the mikvah, unless you know, in your family something that your father is uncomfortable with. Everyone have a good, easy day. Minchas at 6:20. Any questions? Anyone need any help?
Mikvah free, or do you pay?
If there's 10 shekel. Sometimes for Yeshiva boys it's free. I don't know.
There's 10 shekel.
Bring 10 shekel, but sometimes I say for Yeshiva boys it's